You are listening to Wells Tech, episode 632, recorded on June 25th, 2020. Google just wants to save you some money. Wells Tech is a podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today on the show, we are joined by Wells educator Perry Lund, talking a little bit about his experiences during this pandemic and what lies ahead for him and some of the things that he's going to be looking at to deal with maybe the advent of a new era of distance learning. Sally and I share our picks of the week, and we have a video of the week talking about some new stuff coming out of Apple. All that and more coming right up. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech. This is episode 632, and we're recording on June 25th, 2020. Show about technology and ministry. And joining me as usual, recording a little early because we've got a little vacation time planned, Sally Draper. Hey, Sally.
Hi, Martin. I was just going to say, recording on June 25th, out of cycle for a fabulous reason.
Right.
And that is getting to get outside of my house for yeah, a little right. trip. Yay! It means so much this year.
It's not
year.
Just a little trip. You're going across a big state, a couple big states.
Yeah. We have children moving from the western edge of North Dakota to, that's backwards, the eastern edge of North Dakota to the western edge of North Dakota. And that's territory I've never ventured to, so it'll be a cool trip, I'm sure. I've heard there's badlands in North Dakota. Mm-hmm. We've seen them in South Dakota before, but it should be fun to explore them in North Dakota as well.
Very nice. Have a great trip. Well, we're going to do this early, and that's fine, because through the magic of technology, we can play with time a little bit. But our theme, our summer theme, remains the same, and that is kind of a focus on how churches and schools are kind of adapting to, and not just churches and schools, but the individuals who work within them and with them, how they're adapting to a pandemic period in their lives. And I think everybody's got a little bit different take, a little bit different circumstances. And it's interesting, Sally, to hear some of the workarounds, that the creativity that some of people are coming up with.
That's just the word I was thinking of, Martin, creative. And yeah, to hear from people across the country who've had different circumstances, and I would guess different levels of preparedness for what kind of took us all by surprise, where there was, especially our focus being technology infrastructure in place, security measures in place to handle all of the immediate transition to remote and distance teaching and worship and music and all kinds of things. And I'm enjoying the summer series as we get to explore that.
Yep. So we were privileged to get reconnected with somebody we hadn't talked to in a while, Wells educator Perry Lund. He's been kind of coast to coast, been doing a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And we were excited to catch up with him and talk with him about some of the things that he experienced during the pandemic and some of the things he's looking forward to in kind of a distance education focused life that he's going to be leading in the short term here, or maybe the long term. So let's take a listen to our interview with Perry Lund. Joining us today on Wells Tech is Wells educator Perry Lund, currently serving as an adjunct professor for Area Lutheran High Schools Online, and friend of the show. We've had Perry on before. We've talked to him many times in person and otherwise. Welcome to the show, Perry.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
Great to have you. So tell us, for those that don't know Perry Lund, a little bit about yourself, what you're up to these days, and whatever you'd like to share.
Sure. Well, the last 7 years I've been teaching science, first at Evergreen Lutheran in Tacoma, Washington, and then this last year at Divine Savior in Doral, Florida. So across the country trip, as it were, last summer. And so, been married 34 years to Julie, who's also kind of a tech person, and was a technology coordinator in public schools in Iowa for many, many, many years. So, and then our son just finished his first year at Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, and he's been assigned to work with Pastor Stray at Crown of Life in Hubertus, Wisconsin. So that's been a really good experience for him. So he finally gets to come home this next week for a short stay. So.
Very good. Very good. Well, welcome back to Wells Tech. We are really happy to have you, and we are happy to involve you in our summer discussion. Believe it or not, it is around the newsmaker that's kind of captured our attention all this spring, the pandemic, and especially about how that is affecting ministries as we hopefully are somewhat emerging from the pandemic. Maybe turn back the hands of time and tell us what happened in your life this spring as things kind of shut down in your service and your school and your church life.
Yeah, so I guess I'll just kind of mention the church side of things a little bit first. But as far as the church, it kind of happened suddenly. You know, one week in early March, we were, you know, having regular services. Then the next week we decided, you know, we would not pass the offering basket and just put our offerings in the back. And the next week, boom, you know, it was pretty much shut down and we were doing online streaming. So and Divine Savior Church we were already doing streaming. So making the transition, I think, it was a busy time for the pastors and the staff minister, but I think they made a transition pretty nicely there. So, it happened quickly, and so we're still doing virtual services, but we are slowly getting back the last couple of weeks to actually doing service in person, although at a reduced number of people and with precautions.
So let's talk a little bit about then things that affected you and your work firsthand, and that would be, you know, in the school side. What did that look
sure.
like?
Well, in the school side, initially we knew that probably we were going to have to do some type of remote learning. I don't think we realized how quick it was coming. So I remember we were having conversations the week of, say, March 10th in there till the 13th. And we were kind of following what Miami-Dade Public was going to do. And so things happened pretty quick. And that Friday, I remember we were having a school-wide meeting in our commons area. And they just got the message at that afternoon on a Friday that Miami-Dade was shutting down. And so we quickly adjusted and said, okay, well, that means that we're shutting down too. And so I think maybe that was a little bit of a shell shock for a lot of teachers. So we did stop the face-to-face instruction. And there had been a little bit of planning. I'll be honest that they were looking ahead at probably not to change that quickly, but they had done some pre-planning. So that was a positive type of thing. And so that next week then we started some training and getting ready to do remote learning.
So you shifted to totally online and finished out the school year that way, I assume. That's what it seems like everybody
right.
ended up doing.
Yeah.
And, what kind of platform did you use?
So, Divine Savior had used both or was using both Google and the Microsoft platform. So we have both of those platforms. The administration and the tech folks got together and were already talking about that prior to the shutdown. So given what people were comfortable with and what we knew we could do, we have some pretty strong integration with the Microsoft platform with PowerSchool and using some other components like Turnitin and whatnot. So they chose the Microsoft platform for that instructional purposes. And then in the training, it became clear that probably the video component of Microsoft Teams wasn't going to be as good as using Zoom. And so since Zoom is integrated right into Teams, we did training on that. And so like most other schools, or many schools anyway, we used Zoom in combination with Microsoft Teams and all of the parts that go along with Office 365.
So how did it change for you as far as, you know, the quote unquote, the virtual face-to-face? Was it right, more shorter spurts and then independent study, or did you try and kind of replicate the classroom experience just online?
Yeah. Well, we took those next 4 days of that week after the shutdown, and the tech team did a really nice job of kind of walking us through some of those issues. So there was no intention to make it look exactly like the face-to-face classroom situation. And so we kind of struck a balance, and it took a week or two to get a feel for it. But parents wanted to have their kids and their students have face-to-face via video. Striking a balance was a little tricky, but that first week we were just trying to get teachers comfortable with the idea of remote learning and just to put some lessons on if they had. Now some teachers were using the platform even though we were face-to-face and having students do stuff digitally. And DSA uses electronic textbooks, so we don't have kids with physical textbooks anyway, unless they absolutely want one to use. But so there's a little bit of technology that already was in place. And we also had DSA uses a one-to-one iPad program for basically grade 6 all the way to 12th. So they had the tech in place, and that was a blessing. And so it was just a matter of getting the teachers up to speed and get comfortable. I think that was a bigger issue. The students were going to be able to handle it. In terms of, Martin, your question, I think in the synchronous side, we tried to do 25 minutes of synchronous learning three times a week. Then we moved that down to two. The parents, we surveyed the parents and after a week or two, and they kind of wanted a little bit more. So we settled on basically 35 minutes twice a week for synchronous learning. On those days when we had synchronous learning, we did not give homework assignments. And then on the other 3 days, we gave homework assignments. Friday was treated as, if a student needed help, they could contact us or we could contact them and set up an individual video synchronous meeting just to help them with questions and issues. And then most of the teachers did some video lessons and posted those online too for the students. So that was kind of the balance we struck anyway.
So now we are thankfully made it to summer. We're in summertime, and we're also all kind of experiencing a little bit of a relaxation of the restrictions that were in place. What's so hard is to know what to do and what to expect in the future, as people are predicting perhaps we'll have another wave of stay at home in the future or whatever. What about Divine Savior? What are they thinking? Are they going to open normally, that kind of thing?
Well, I think we would like to hope and pray that's the case. I know the parents, as I said, we survey to get a feel for what folks would like and whatnot. So, but restrictions are there, and so there's always a chance. I would guess we're much better prepared to do a blended learning environment where, and I've seen this, you know, talked about. In terms of the Wells High School tech group, how could we do a blended environment where maybe our classroom capacity is half of what it would normally be, and maybe some students want to stay home. So I think our experience with this fourth quarter has helped in that regard, and so we can continue to use our learning management system and platform to kind of bridge that, if we need to work with students who are at home and still do some face-to-face, that's probably, I would guess, is what's going to happen at this point. But I think the administration and the tech people are prepared for those contingencies. And so obviously our past experience helps guide us in that situation if we have to do that. But I think everybody, if we had our preference, we'd like to do more face-to-face. I think the kids miss that to a great extent. So, and I know the teachers do too.
So Perry, you are an ALHSO instructor, and that is purely online, distance learning. And I'm sure that you've kind of thought through that, the pluses and minuses to that as you've experienced it and as you're thinking ahead of how to implement classes. What are some of the tools that you think are helpful both in that environment and just maybe just for the school that's thinking about doing more of that, that maybe you'd want to share with our audience for doing ministry under, obviously these circumstances?
All right. Well, I would definitely say, I got into this in March of this year. So kind of as we were starting our remote learning COVID lockdown at Divine Savior Academy, then I was approached if I wanted to teach a class in ALHSO, mm-hmm. or actually it's a new course, so I'm also designing it.
Right.
So one of the neat things, you probably know this as well, Martin, is that there's a couple of courses that Dr. Jim Grunewald does there at MLC to prepare people to do this kind of instruction, this online instruction. And, a lot of that is some of those things people who go through that process may know, but you learn a lot through that. And then you also, if it's a new course, get to design a course, and that's a positive experience too. So so definitely, I would say hats off to Jim Grunewald, because they do a nice job of making sure people are prepared to teach in the ALHSO. For my course, it's kind of interesting. It's an AP course, so there is a framework, a curricular framework, but the course I'm teaching is relatively new in the AP sequence, and so they keep changing the framework. So when you look at some of the examples on the College Board website, they're for the 2017 framework, and now they're changing it for 2020. So that's been a bit of a challenge, adapting what AP and College Board would like us to do. So
what's the name of your course?
The one I'll be doing is AP Computer Science Principles, which is sort of like a CS0 at the college level. It's for non-majors, but try to get people interested in computer science, because there's such a need for people who understand it in a lot of careers and occupations. And I think it'll help feed into, I think Josh Shainick teaches the AP Computer Science A, which is more of a CS1 or a first year computer science at the college level.
And maybe just a little plug for Area Lutheran High Schools Online. You guys have been using the acronym. Make sure everybody knows that the Synod does have this group that puts together coursework that's totally online. This was before COVID-19 or any of that. Dr. Grunewald heads that up, obviously. I think his title is Superintendent of Area Lutheran High Schools Online. And they offer coursework for more than just high school level. I believe it goes down to middle school level coursework. So if you have students that are needing to pick up an algebra or geometry that isn't offered at the middle school level in your LES, you could make use of this tool as well. But courses all over the spectrum, Martin, you teach for them as well, I believe.
Right. I do a web design course, and it's a lot of fun interacting with the kids from all over the country. And I think the platform is maturing, and the whole process is, I think, a good one, a good concept for for kids who can't get the courses that they need and want to do either AP or, you know, enhanced learning type experiences. So, yeah, it's good.
And now not just for those kids that can't get it, but for those, for such a time as this, for a pandemic age where people are turning to more online resources. So who knows, there may be a boom of enrollment this fall at Area Lutheran High School online.
That could
good
be.
Stuff. Good stuff.
Yep.
Perry, thanks so much for your time and blessings on your work this summer, preparations this summer, and you know, we'll circle around with you and catch up and see how the first year of that course went. I'm very interested to see what kind of reaction you're going to get and what kind of things come out of that.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
Martin, I think it was really special to circle back and be able to talk with Perry. I would guess he was probably a listener all the way back in our first season in 2008.
Early on,
and contributor, which that's what this show is about, is our community. That's why I love this interview series, just hearing from people across the Wells Tech community, across the Synod, learning about their experiences.
Yeah, and he's kind of focusing in an area that I think a lot of our teachers are going to have to figure out, of course, depending on, you know, what happens in the fall. And as Perry mentioned, and as we've talked to others, you know, we really don't know what that looks like. But some kind of distance learning is, I think, going to be a major card in the hands of a lot of teachers, and to know a little bit more about some of the things around it, not just the technologies, but best practices and approaches to doing it is going to be an essential skill.
Yeah. I'm actually sitting in the seat of a student just this summer. I'm taking a class online through the Area Technical College, and it is definitely a different experience than the face-to-face classes I've had, and one that requires a lot of self-discipline. And I know teachers would agree that it requires a lot of self-discipline to teach that way, because you have to over-communicate. You have to produce so many different types of resources, you know, and different platforms and things that are involved. As a student, it's challenging as well. And so, there's no easy solution or quick solution. I think it's a big transition from what was normal to what is now the expectation, and getting comfortable with that.
I guess if there is a bright side to this, I mean, that we've got a summer to kind of think about it, plan for it, and the smarter organizations are taking advantage of that and trying to lay good plans. But we're all kind of in this together, as the saying goes, educators, administrators, students, parents, all of them understand that there might be a different approach that's going to be necessary, both short and maybe long term. So it's great to have, as you mentioned, great to have this interview series going and hear the perspectives of different people along the way. So thank you, Perry, again for joining us. All right, Sally, let's move on to our Picks of the Week segment. You have a pick as you're headed out the door on vacation.
I do. And I was really excited to learn this. I never knew this, but there's a little Windows setting for those of you that are using Windows 10 and perhaps earlier versions. I don't know, but I know it's in Windows 10 where you can hide your desktop icons. So especially maybe pastors or teachers who are presenting to an audience, it's really not preferable to show your desktop if it has 500 different links and icons thrown across it. Even if you're neat about it, it's probably your personal preferences that you don't necessarily want to be focused on during a presentation or projection of your computer screen. And so this is just a simple thing. If you right-click anywhere on your Windows desktop, the very first command in the right-click menu is View, and the last command in that View menu is Show Desktop Icons. It's a little toggle. So right now mine is checked, and I'm seeing my desktop icons. If I click on it, it becomes unchecked, and my desktop icons are hidden. They don't go away. I can still go to File Explorer and get to my desktop, and the icons, the folders, the links, whatever it is that was on your desktop are still there. They're just, your desktop is just cleaned up. And And when you want to get them back, you can go right back to that view menu and click on show desktop icons, and they return to being displayed. And so for me, that's a big win. When I present, I try to be conscious of that. And I usually consolidate everything down to just one folder. So I have one kind of nondescript folder sitting off to the side, containing my brain that I keep on my desktop. And then when my presentation is over, I'll bring it back. But I don't do presentations nearly so often as our pastors and teachers and staff ministers do. So I would think this would be a friend to some of them that are listening. So that's my tip.
Yep. And this is not just presentation, but, you know, screen, and again, any kind of screen sharing. So if you're doing screencasting or distant, you know, flipping a classroom or whatever, it's nice to be able to clean that up. As few distractions as possible for the viewer is a good goal. So,
yeah, I guess some of us are doing video meetings these days, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very good. My pick of the week. Actually, I snuck in two here because they're small. As many have been doing over the past 3 or 4 months, working from home a little bit more, they've tried to kind of make things as work-friendly as possible. And some people have kind of carved out different spaces within their homes and created home offices of sorts or home areas, and, you know, tried to equip it with different things that make it as productive as possible or as comfortable as possible. And a couple things that I lacked, I lacked a lot of things, but so now I've got a desk and a place, et cetera, et cetera. But a couple things that I wanted to add were desktop speakers, which I didn't have, to be able to play audio, whether that's music or YouTube video or whatever, you know, I'm playing from the computer. I didn't have those. I've had those in the past long, long ago. Normally I just use like a speakerphone and wanted a little bit better quality audio. So I did a little bit of research. I didn't want to spend a lot either, however, but ran across my old friend Creative Labs. They used to be all called Creative Labs. Now they're just called Creative. They used to make sound cards and those kinds of things. So they've pivoted a little bit. They make speakers, nice speakers actually. And the ones that I picked up were actually rated very well for the price, especially just $30. They make actually a little bit cheaper model of $20 with a couple fewer features. But this is exactly what I was looking for. They're the Creative Pebble version 2. They're USB-C powered desktop speakers. 8 watts, and they're somewhat diminutive. They don't take up a lot of desk real estate. They're a little bit odd looking. They look like a magic 8-ball, so to speak, but they do have all the things necessary, and you can, you know, the power button on the front, and they have got a decent bass sound to them too, which is sometimes what you lack when you get these little plasticky desktop speakers. But I'd say in general, they've been very reliable so far. They sound pretty good for the price, and can be picked up at on Amazon or other places for $29.99. That's pick 1A. Pick 1B is I do wear a headset a lot of the day if I'm on conference calls. And rather than just kind of laying the headset down on the desk, taking up real estate, they make headset stands. And I'm sure a lot of people use those, especially for the larger headsets that go over both ears. I just have a smaller one, but I wanted to find a nice stand that would just hold the headsets off the surface and allow me to grab them easily when a phone call comes in. So I did a little research there too and found kind of an off brand. I'd never heard of them before, called Newbee. Newbee, two words. And for the grand total of $8.50, you get a little stand. You can get it in black or silver. And it's a little three-piece thing. You plastic base, kind of a aluminum-ish pole, and then kind of a rubber pad on the top over which you put your headset. So it fits in nicely. It goes with the decor, you know, of my desk, and the price was right on this as well. So that's a headphones, they call it headphone stand headset holder, Newbee, with an aluminum supporting bar. I'm just reading it here on Amazon as well. Again, Amazon's choice, $8.50. So those are my two picks to kind of accent that home office setup. I call them maybe home office essentials.
Good stuff, Martin. Thank you for sharing. And I actually have some community feedback that kind of tag teams off of your home office setup, because I've been doing a little work on my own home office. And not necessarily, I mean, I'm back in the office pretty much full time here at the CMM, but just for my own personal computer, or to have the option of bringing my work computer home and plugging in there. And what I was really lacking was a personal monitor that I was comfortable with. So I have a nice monitor for work. And, you know, we are coming off of a time when we were just living in an RV, traveling full time. And that work monitor served as my personal monitor as well. I didn't have two monitors, you know, to use with my work versus home computer. I just shared that one when I needed to use it for my personal computer. But my home setup, since moving out of the RV, I just had a really small, cheap monitor, and the resolution wasn't great, and it was a little bit fuzzy, and I didn't really enjoy coming home to work after being on my nice monitor at work. And so this past weekend, I said to my husband, I've had it. I think it's time to buy a new monitor. So he said, go for it. And I immediately turned to my Best Buy app, because there's a Best Buy within about 3 miles of my house, and typically they might have something in stock that I would appreciate having on my desk. And so I found a monitor. It's a 27 inch. It's not like a 4K or anything like that, but it is a lot larger than what I had, and certainly a lot brighter and crisper display than what I had available to me before that. So read a few reviews. It had a lot of great reviews. Ordered it in the Best Buy app, which is super simple. And within 20 minutes, I got a text from them that said it was ready for me to pick up. And so I just drove over there. Someone came out of the store and asked what my name was, and went in and got my monitor and brought it out and put it in my car. So contactless and super fast and easy to do. Very happy with my monitor. It's about a $250 monitor. And I'll have a link to it in the show notes. I bought the HP 27F for those that might be interested. And brought it home, set it up in no time. It has a tilt stand, and I was on top of the world. And that was true until Monday around noontime, when my world changed dramatically in terms of my monitor. And it was due to a little pop-up notification on my phone. I have the Google app installed on my phone, and on my home screen, I got a notification that said, price reduction, HP 27F reduced $110. And I was like, holy cow, that's almost half the price of what I paid for it. It's now for sale at Best Buy for $140 instead of $250. And I would have never known that. I would have not circled back and looked at the Best Buy ad or anything like that. Only my friend Google alerted me to it. And so within about 30 seconds, I had dialed my Best Buy store and informed them that I just bought that monitor on Saturday. And literally within a minute of being on the phone with them, I had my $115 refund with tax in my bank account. Nice. So I was super thrilled with my friend Google, who apparently was doing a little spying on my shopping. Because I honestly, I don't believe I ever used the Google search utility to look for this monitor. I'm pretty confident I went straight to the Best Buy, but Best Buy emailed me the receipt. And so Google, I assume, from my Gmail correspondence, was able to know that I had purchased this monitor and sent me that alert. And, you know, I'm perfectly happy with that. I got a $115 refund out of the deal, but it is a little bit interesting that Google was able to remind me of that. Have you ever had any experience
with
that?
I haven't, but as you were talking, one thing that I put in my tool belt a couple weeks ago was Camel. Have you ever heard of them?
Okay.
For those that haven't, it's a little extension or an app. You can go to their website, but then you get a little browser extension that kind of monitors prices for you. So it works with Amazon in particular. So if you have a product on Amazon that you're thinking about buying, but you don't want to pay the current price, you can kind of configure it to tell you or alert you when it drops below a certain level or a certain percentage. So I've put that in place on a couple of items, and jury's still out. I don't know if it's I'm going to make it a pick in the future, but I think in general the concept is awesome. Where prices move around a lot on Amazon, and you know what you were talking about is a little bit different, but I think it's a good thing to be able to use let technology work for you, which clearly did for you to find that definitely. To find the lowest price possible.
Yeah. I actually tried to find out how Google did this and did some Google searching and stuff. And the only thing that came up for me was there are several apps, but there's also just the ability in a Google search in their shopping feature to kind of camp on a product and tell you when the price drops. And then that does it across all different websites. So I have a link that I'll throw in the show notes, and I'll find a link for Camel 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 as well, and put those in the show notes, and maybe it's time to be a little more frugal and watch for those price drops.
Interesting. So, you have to watch out for that in the future, too, see if there's a trend. Not a bad trend, of course, but just be aware of it.
Well, not right. In this case. $115.
I'll take that.
I was a happy girl.
I'll let Google look over my shoulder a little bit for $115. So,
just a little. That's right.
All right. Let's move on to community feedback.
Yes. I want to make mention, we're recording slightly before it kicks off, but by the time this show comes out, Wells Taste and See event will be in full swing, and you can participate and benefit from this wonderful online virtual event, totally free, at the website, wellstasteandsee.com. I am just so impressed. I wrote in the show notes, WTG, way to go. And I'm going to do the shout out to two organizations, Lutheran Women's Missionary Society, LWMS, and Wells Missions, because both of them had in-person events planned for this summer. LWMS has an annual in-person convention. This summer it was going to be down in Athens, Georgia, and they had put all kinds of work into planning a great event down in Georgia for LWMS folks to gather. And in the same fashion, Wells Missions puts together an in-person event. This was only going to be the second year that they've had it, but it was called Taste of Missions. And a really exciting day. Martin, you and I were both at the first annual Taste of Missions event last summer, held up at the Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary. And it was a packed house, and I expect they were going to have more even this year. But a day to focus on missions kind of concludes with the commissioning of some new missionaries. So a very exciting event in its own right. Again, both of those organizations had to cancel their in-person events. And within, I would say, the last 2 months at most, it might not have even been that long since they've officially canceled, they combined forces and came up with Taste and See, a combination event that has great features from both that were planned to happen in person, now happening online. So there's going to be some live events, worship services. There's also going to be a lot of daily video drops. So things like daily devotions from missionaries, events. I know one of the things they have is on the taste side, where different missionaries shared recipes from their mission field and actually prepare the recipes and have a video of them talking you through how to create some really unique recipes, and then also obviously sharing the recipes too. So that sounds like a lot of fun. The website, wellstasteandsee.com, has scavenger hunt for families to complete virtually as they participate in the different events happening throughout the 2 week time period. And also like some coloring pages and things like that that kids can make use of. So lots of fun things. I think many groups are planning watch parties where maybe just in a congregation or an LWMS circuit, they are all gathering still in person, I'm sure, at safe distance and complying with all the necessary safety precautions, but having watch parties to participate in the live events and things like that. So lots of fun, and it goes on through July 11th when they will have the live commissioning of new missionaries going into the mission field. So still plenty of time for you to tune in. I believe all the videos are available available after they've been shared initially. You'll be able to access them at any time. And so definitely jump in and participate and enjoy Wells Taste and See.
Shout out to our own technology department as well, as we were able to assist them with that setup. And I think there's a beautiful presentation, and you visit that website, which is really kind of the gateway to the event. A really nice job with that. So kudos to our web services group.
Definitely. Lots of people turning on a dime and making COVID-19 work in brand new ways at all these special events. So really excited. A little more community feedback to share. And this collection of things that I want to talk through all comes from the Wells Educators During COVID-19 and Beyond Facebook page. So this is a Facebook page we've referenced several times this spring. Came from just an initial person wanting to start a group and get together with some Wells teachers and talk about how they're handling, the transition to the distance education and all that. It's grown into 1,300 plus members, and just amazing conversations continuing to happen in this group. Just recently, they renamed it to have the And Beyond part, because I think they want to keep, tapping into each other in this way. There was also some discussion about breaking down into grade level or more content-specific groups, potentially, and several have sprung up. So we'll have links in the show notes to other Facebook groups, like one specifically for special ed, and then grade level centric early childhood grades 1 and 2, 3 through 5, and 5 through 8. And perhaps there are others. So if people are listening and are aware of other Facebook groups around, specifically for Wells teachers, we'd love to share them on the show as well. Also from this group, just highlighting a couple of interesting posts that I saw, and there are many to pick from, so definitely go check it out yourself. One of them from George Kellerman, he recommended a website, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce this. It's spelled N-A-E-I-R.
Too many vowels, I'm not sure either.
Nair, something like that. I actually dug on the website. They don't make it real obvious what the acronym is, because it probably doesn't have as much meaning, but it's National Association for the Exchange of Industrial Resources. So I would assume back in history, looks like it started in 77. Basically, they were seeing companies that had excess resources and wanted to get them into the hands of schools and nonprofits. That's kind of the concept behind it. So George says, I just joined a couple of months ago, and I've already gotten a ton of good stuff for next to nothing. It's free to join, and most of the items seem to be overstock. You pay a handling fee, and the minimum order is $25. So technically what they're supplying you with is free, but they have shipping and handling charges that they add on. But it sounds like, according to George, it's definitely worth checking out. So just a variety of merchandise that's available.
Excellent.
There. I thought that was interesting. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. And then finally, a special shout out to Jenny Otto. Jenny teaches kindergarten at Mount Olive in Las Vegas. And recently she had shared an article with the group. It was titled, And the Door Closed Behind Us. And it's about her thoughts on the closing of school for the COVID-19 pandemic and saying goodbye to her kindergartners without really realizing it was the last time they would be together, and all the exciting things that happen in kindergarten that had already started to happen in her classroom, but that she was looking forward to in those last few months of school. I think for teachers, it was probably especially difficult, because that's kind of the sweet spot in the school year where they are hitting their groove and, having some fun and things like that in their classrooms. And she just expressed it so well in this article, literally brought me to tears. And now everyone can read it because it is a featured article in the June Forward in Christ magazine. And so we're going to have a link to it in the show notes. For those of you that aren't aware, the people over at Forward in Christ have been so generous throughout this pandemic experience. They've made the magazine digital version available for free online. And this is just one of many groups great articles from the June magazine. I kind of take some time on my lunch break to read an article each day, and there's so much great content there. And I paged past this one this week and thought worth a mention on the show and a reminder about the Great Wells Educators During COVID-19 and Beyond Facebook group that I first saw this article in. So definitely check it out.
Yeah, one thing that is wonderful to see, Sally, is just the willingness to share experiences, suggestions, questions. It kind of has brought everybody a little bit closer together because we have this shared experience, and I think we're trying to help each other out in whatever way we can. So that's neat. That's a neat byproduct of the virus.
Yep. Happy to shed a light on it, because if you aren't out there participating, it's a great place to be. So.
All right. We are to the segment in our show where we share kind of a special video of the week. And this was a little bit of a natural. The big news in tech, at least, was that Apple had their Worldwide Developer Conference, all virtual, all online. But this is where they announce all the software updates, in particular to their iLine, iOS, iPad, iOS, What's the iPad one called? It's not iOS, it's iPad or something like that. Apple Watch, Apple TV, all that good stuff. And it's a 2-hour keynote, but The Verge and others put together some nice compilation videos that kind of distill it down for the people who don't want to sit through a 2-hour YouTube video to kind of give us the highlights. And you watched a little bit of it, Sally. Anything stick out to you?
Yeah, Martin, I was so excited because the Apple Watch will now automatically detect and track how long you are washing your hands. There's a little countdown timer that comes up when you start washing your hands. How about that for being responsive to COVID-19?
If you could only get an Apple Watch that you'd want to put on a 3- or 4-year-old's wrist, that might help that too. And brushing your teeth and a few other things too.
Right. I just had to giggle at that one. That was pretty funny. But actually, something that didn't make the video that I read about in a subsequent article, I think is something worth celebrating. But Apple just kind of downplayed it. Apparently, with iOS 14, which is, I believe, targeted for this fall, you're going to have the ability on your iPhone and iPad to select your default email and browser,
Hallelujah.
Something that I have longed for a very long time. So you aren't locked into using Safari browser is the word that I'm getting. And so that is exciting news.
All right. So take a watch on the video of the week. If you'd like to participate in the show, we'd love feedback. Please go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net, and you see all the notes there, all the links that we've talked about, the picks of the week, and all the references that we make during the show. Those are all there, so you don't need to furiously scribble those down while you're listening. But all the ways you can contact us are there as well. If you look across the top right, you see all the little icons there. So social media, email, et cetera, et cetera. So please connect with us, make the connection, give us suggestions, feedback, whatever. We would love for you to join the conversation. That's going to do it for this week, Sally. You can commence packing, and we're going to get the show ready and shipped out the door, and we're going to come back in a couple weeks and do the show all over again with another interview. This maybe would be focused more on music ministry, so if you're interested in that, definitely put that on your calendar, and we'll ship that in a couple weeks. Thank you, Sally. Thanks to Perry for joining us again, and thanks to all of you listeners for giving us a few minutes of your time every couple of weeks. We really appreciate that. Blessings on your day, your week, and see you soon. Bye-bye.